Soulja Boy tell.
Hello, and welcome to the Tiger's Den. What's up, Tiger Nation? I am your host, Scott, and this is the Tiger's Den, the official LSU podcast of the Dome Patrol United Network. Thanks for joining us on episode 15, the big 1-5. Of the Tiger's Den podcast. Hope everyone is doing well. It's been a busy week thus far, recording on a Wednesday night. The draft, NFL draft, is tomorrow night, so I'm very excited about that. This episode probably won't be published until Friday, but if you, I don't know, we're having a live podcast on the Dome Patrol for the big show, so please join us if you can. I know you'll probably be listening to this after the NFL draft is over, but anyway, it's a fun time. I hope you can join us. It's been, like I said, it's been a busy couple of weeks as far as LSU sports and athletics go. Some big stuff going on in the different programs. So let's get started with some LSU football. All right, LSU football, let's see. Five-star Ponchatoula safety Jacoby Matthews commits to LSU. That's a big get. Obviously, anytime you can get a cornerback or safety, especially a five-star cornerback or safety, to commit to your school, that's huge. You know, I read something the other day saying that I think since Coach O has been here, they have signed every five-star football player in the state of Louisiana. So think about that for a second. You look at people like, I don't know, Travis Etienne, who ended up going to Clemson. I don't know if he was a five-star coming out, but it's just impressive as to just the recruiting ability of Coach O and his staff. They do just an amazing job of keeping the talent inside Louisiana, you know, the five-star talent. And then even going out of state, you know, where they might not have gone before and might not be competitive before, you know, it's really just a top-notch program. And, you know, I saw something else the other day kind of talking about the draft that I think LSU's like, if you want to go to the NFL, I think LSU's in the top five colleges of players drafted within the past, I guess, like 10 years of NFL players. You know, again, it's just a testament to the program and to what Coach O has done to build it up. And, you know, yeah, it was built up. I mean, it started with Saban, if you want to be honest about the LSU football program. You know, winning a national championship kind of put us on the map, and Les Miles was able to build upon that, or he who should not be named, I guess I should say. And then Coach O was able to build upon that. So hopefully the tradition just keeps on growing and we keep on getting more and more five stars and go back to that, you know, not go back, but continue to be the DBU. You know, you could also say we're a wide receiver U. If you look at the top wide receivers coming up in the draft with Ja'Marr Chase and Terrence Marshall, and look at the players that are in the NFL, like Justin Jefferson, you know, it really is a wide receiver school. When you think about it, and LSU's always had great wide receivers. It's just they've always lacked the quarterback or the development of a quarterback. And I really think that had Saban stayed here, we would have been able to develop quarterbacks, I think, quicker. Les Miles did a horrible job of developing quarterbacks. I don't think there was one quarterback that he developed. Any quarterback that was any halfway decent was a transfer from another school. There was nobody he took from being a freshman all the way to a senior, you know, with being a good quarterback. And, you know, you could say that for Joe Burrow, too. He transferred in. He was already a good quarterback when he got here. But I think that the offensive staff, especially with Joe Brady, just kind of pushed him to that next level that he probably wouldn't have gotten to had he stayed at Ohio State. Kind of going along the football lines, I guess you could say, In a, I guess, a move, a somewhat, not somewhat, it's a shallow move. It's to try to move past the all the sexual harassment things, and I'll get to more of that in a second. They're banning Darius Geis and removing him from the running back from the record books. You know how I feel about Darius Geis and the stuff he did and I guess continues to do. But I'm never a fan of removing someone from the record books. It's a political move. It's a hollow move. It's a shallow move. It's something that you can, it's basically just there for you to point to and say, oh, look, we did something. Like, the guy was still there. He still ran. He still was a running back. He still put up all the numbers. He still put up the yards. Taking away his records or wiping from the record book. Like, if you want to ban him from coming to campus and coming to LSU football games, I get that aspect of it. But to wipe him from the record books is just stupid, and it's just a it's a political stunt, is basically all that it is. I liken it to, and obviously it's not the same thing, but when South Carolina, Southern Cal, wiped Reggie Bush from the records, and they took away his Heisman and all. It's so stupid to do all that. What players do off the field obviously affects their overall, how people see them overall, but it doesn't diminish what they did or do on the field. You don't see, and I could be wrong, I don't believe the NFL ever took OJ out of the Hall of Fame. And, maybe because he was found out guilty, but I mean, everybody knows that OJ freaking did that shit. It's just stripping people of records or trophies or awards. It's just dumb. In baseball, you can kind of liken it to Pete Rose. They won't let him in the Hall of Fame, and I think eventually they might, especially the way that it seems to be going these days with sports and gambling. I mean, you look at like the NFL, they just signed a deal with DraftKings. Sports and gambling are starting to kind of merge together. In the state of Louisiana, they're talking about, I know we voted on it to pass, online gambling and sports books. And I really think that it's coming. You look at things, and why do I say that? You look at trends. And I'm sorry if I'm going off topic from LSU, but if you look at trends, the naming rights to the Superdome possibly being the Caesars Superdome, I mean, that's one thing right there. Harrah's in New Orleans is being rebranded as Caesars of New Orleans because it's owned by Caesars. You look at certain casinos like, I'm in Central Louisiana, so there's a big casino, the Paragon in Marksville. They just opened a draft, I think it's called the Tap Room, and it's, or the Draft Room, something like that. And it's a big bar, sports bar area. I mean, they are setting up for that to turn into a sports book once it's legal in Louisiana. And they're in the process of, the state legislators in the process of, I think in the process of discussing and voting on it. We had passed it once before, the sports betting, and then they did nothing with it, I guess, because they couldn't figure out how to get money out of it. The state legislators couldn't. And when I say get money out of it, I mean money to line their pockets. Anyone who knows any kind of history of Louisiana, the state legislatures and the politicians in the state of Louisiana always have to find a way to line their pockets first before they will pass anything. And that's Louisiana politics. It's been that way forever. You go back into the history, Walt Disney, when he was scouting locations to build Disney World, he had looked at some areas on the North Shore, Mandeville, Covington, Slidell area to possibly put Disney World. And when he started talking to politicians about it, they're like, well, first you got to line our pockets. So he's like, I'm not dealing with this shit. I'm going to take it somewhere else. And he took it to Florida. Can you imagine the state, how much money and revenue that the state would have if Disney World were here? But the politicians are too short-sighted to figure out, they're too short-sighted. They want the money now. Instead of waiting and investing in the state, they want their pockets lined now. That's another reason why probably you'll see Louisiana be last in. You see certain states legalizing marijuana, and they've talked about it for Louisiana. Unless the politicians can figure out a way to line their pockets first, it ain't gonna happen. We'll be one of the last states to do it because, they gotta line their pockets first. So, sorry to go off on that tangent for a second. I was a history major in college. My dad was a history teacher in high school. I follow politics. I follow Louisiana politics, specifically. I took a lot of poli sci classes and probably should have majored in poli sci, but I ended up just going with history. But anyway, so that's the Darius Geis thing. I gave you my opinion on that. And kind of leading into that, I'm kicking and beating a dead horse, talking about all the things and the sexual harassments and whatnot that came out of, the Hush Blackwell report. But this past, I think, week or two, and it's kind of been overshadowed by other things, but this past week, a bunch of student or student athletes are suing LSU. I want to say it's for $5 million each. I don't know how many plaintiffs there are, but they're suing everybody. They're suing LSU. They're suing F. King Alexander, former president. They're suing Les Miles. They're suing actually the lady whose name escapes me at this point. There's so many freaking people involved with this, but the one I talked about on the last couple podcasts that was suing the university. The African American lady who was the like associate athletic director, athletic person, whatever. Sayers or shit, Sears, whatever her name is. She's getting sued in this lawsuit. So she's suing LSU, saying she was discriminated against, but she's also getting sued in this lawsuit by the students. And they say, we've talked about before, oh, all these people are gone, they're not here anymore. From what I understand, one of the allegations was from 2021, earlier this year. So obviously it's still happening. And your hollow gestures of suspending people and removing Darius Geis from the record book, it's all a bunch of crap. It's all a bunch of bullshit. It's hollow. And until there's real change, you're going to keep seeing these lawsuits pop up and happen. And with the amount of people being sued, you're talking about years before all this is settled. I mean, you're talking maybe 5, 10 years before all this is settled because, they got to depose certain, they got to depose these people. You got so many lawsuits going on, and each one has to depose another one, and then they cross with each other, and blah, blah, blah. Like I said, it's to the point where I'm beating a dead horse. Just know LSU's getting sued. Stevie Wonder could have seen this coming. And it's by students and student athletes. Another hollow gesture they did, Virge Ausberry, they took away his football tickets for this season. I mean, give me a fucking break. Like, really? That's what you're doing? Just Jesus. It's so disgusting the way they do this. And I was talking about Louisiana politics. It falls in line with that a little bit, where people just think that they can shift blame and get away with whatever the fuck they want because they have power. And I know that happens everywhere, but in Louisiana, it's like a fucking disease. Like, it's more common than anything that everyone wants to pass the buck, no one wants to take responsibility. And nobody wants to do anything about it. And the system will never change if no one ever does anything about it. If people constantly get away with whatever the fuck they want to do because they think they have power. And it's ridiculous and it's disgusting. And it's, Louisiana wants people, especially young people, to move here. If you look at the population of Louisiana, a lot of the young people are leaving this state because there's no opportunities. There's no opportunities for jobs. There's no opportunity, and it's all built off of power. Like the saying, it's not what you know, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And that is Louisiana to a fucking T. I can't tell you how many times I've been going into an interview and just fucking crushed it, but somebody else got it because they knew somebody. And they were less qualified. I mean, and that, ha like I said, that happens everywhere, but Louisiana, it's chronic, and it's what Louisiana is known for. And will it ever change? Probably not in my lifetime. You know, as much as I love my children and would love for them to stay in Louisiana and live and work here so I can be close to them when I'm older and I can be close to my grandkids, if they wanted to leave, I would probably actually encourage them to leave the state because there's just, it's crap. It really is half the time it's crap. Are there bright spots? Obviously, there's bright spots. There's always exceptions to the rule, but the general rule of thumb is Louisiana sucks. They're always last in pretty much any category you can think of. They're last in. I don't know. Kind of just went off on a little tangent there. Just I don't know. Just was in that kind of mood tonight. So anyway, let's move on to some LSU basketball. Not just basketball, LSU women's basketball. So, unless you've been living under a rock this past week, LSU hired Kim Mulkey. It's Mulkey time. They hired Kim Mulkey. I might have mentioned it, I think, in the last podcast. I was kind of hopeful that they would do this, but they hired Kim Mulkey to be the women's basketball coach. For those not familiar with Kim Mulkey, she is a three-time national champion coach. She's coming from Baylor. She was at Baylor for, I believe, 21 years. She is from Louisiana. She went to Hammond High, where I believe she was All-State all 4 years she was there, and was the valedictorian of her class at Hammond High, which, you know, Hammond, I don't know how big of an accomplishment that is, but still, anytime you're a valedictorian, it's an accomplishment. So she got hired to be the new basketball coach, and she's in Louisiana Basketball Hall of Fame. I want to say I read somewhere she's the youngest woman to ever be inducted into Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. She is being inducted into, I want to, either the Basketball Hall of Fame, I want to say. And she's getting, I mean, if this doesn't tell you something, then I don't know what does, but she's being inducted into the Hall of Fame in a few weeks. And the person who's inducting her, introducing her, some guy you may know named Michael Jordan. So, I mean, it doesn't get any bigger than that. She is a proven winner. She has been a proven winner wherever, you know, she's gone. She coached at La Tech for a while, and I believe won a national championship up there as well. Also, I don't know if you heard this or not, but she is Kramer Robertson's former LSU baseball player, Kramer Robertson's mom. That's kind of a running joke on Twitter because, or not just on Twitter, but with LSU fans, when Kramer Robertson was playing here, they would always mention the fact that, especially when they were in the College World Series, they would mention the fact that he was Kim Mulkey's son, and they would always show her in the stands at the game. So it's just kind of a running joke. And even when they introduced her, she said, "Kramer Robertson's mom has come home." So it was kind of funny. She's a real no nonsense kind of coach, it seems like. She is very opinionated and is not afraid to voice her opinion. Literally, the first thing she said when she got up to the mic was she had a mask on and she threw the mask off. She's like, "I'm gonna take this damn mask off because I got a lot to say." And she literally took the mask off her face and threw it aside. So, you know, she is not anybody to mess with. She was also a two-time national champ as a player. You know, at La Tech, she's no nonsense, and she is going to really take this LSU women's basketball program to the next level. She, I guess the best way, and I was kind of talking about this with my wife, and the best way I could describe it is this is like getting Coach K from Duke to come to your school and coach. I mean, that's the kind of level we're talking about. I expect, especially with the new transfer rules. So the new transfer rules, I think we talked about last week, that you can transfer, you get a one-time exemption to transfer and play right away. With those transfer rules, she, I would say, it's going to take a little bit of time, but I would say in the next 2 to 3 years, expect LSU to, definitely within the next five, expect LSU women's basketball to have a national championship. And it's something that LSU basketball has never done. They've never won a national championship for women's basketball. And it was kind of funny at her press conference. She mentioned she had all the players on the team stand up, and she said, "Turn around and look at those banners." And She's like, all those banners up there are Final Four banners. If you notice what's missing, there's no national championship banner. And that's what I'm here to do. That's what I'm here to bring you, a national championship. She expects to win a national championship, and she more than likely will. And women's basketball, it was pretty big. So when I was at LSU, it was pretty big. I remember I went to an LSU basketball game, and I think it was against Tennessee. This was back when Tennessee was really good, and they were the number one team in the country, and we beat them at LSU. Their basketball team back then was just starting to kind of get big a little bit. I remember me and my buddy Jose Mejia, who may or may not be listening to this, I don't know, but we would go to the LSU women's basketball games, mostly because I was in love with one of the LSU basketball players at the time. But I remember we drove to Lafayette one time to go see them play. So it's grown a lot since then. I like winners. I've said it before. I've said it many times. I like winners, and she is a winner. And I can promise you, next season we will be talking about LSU women's basketball. Since they named her as the coach, this is no lie, they have gotten 2,000 deposits on season tickets next year for women's college basketball, which is like unheard of at LSU. Expect huge things from Kim Mulkey. We will be talking about her. We will be talking about LSU women's basketball. I'm sure they're going to start getting transfers in pretty soon. She actually brought a good chunk of staff from Baylor with her over to LSU. She got to kind of handpick her staff, and they were obviously successful there with three national championships, and I fully expect them to be successful at LSU. So congrats to Coach Mulkey. They announced her contract today. I don't remember specific numbers. I think it was in the little over the $2 million range over the next 8 years. So they've got her tied down for a long time. And, it took a lot of convincing. I mean, when you're coaching at somewhere like Baylor, first of all, obviously you've had tremendous success there, but she's been there for 21 years. I mean, you don't just leave anything like that, that you've built a program, you've built to national championship level, that you've been at for 21 years. You don't just leave that for anything. And she said, I mean, she honestly said, this is the one job that I would leave for. And she did. There was no other job in the country that she would have left Baylor for. This is the absolute only one. She wanted to come home. She talked about how much she missed the food, how she wanted some Ponchatoula strawberries and some crawfish. I mean, she just, one thing she missed a lot of was just the food and the people. She's got a daughter who has a kid, so she's a grandmother, and I think has another one on the way. And obviously, her son Kramer went here, so she's used to being around LSU. She's used to, during her speech, she talked about Paul Menary a bit, because obviously she knows him because of Kramer. She got to meet Coach O. It was kind of a funny interaction when she met Coach O. He was talking to her, and he said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "Ma'am, don't call me ma'am. I'm younger than you are." So it was kind of funny. She did her, Go Tigers impersonation of Coach O. Go Tigers! She's going to fit in nice, I think, with everybody. She's a big personality. And when you say big personality, I mean, Coach, Wade has a big personality. Coach O has a big personality. And DD, Mulkey has a huge personality. She also did mention that DD Bro, former coach of the women's basketball team, was huge in getting her to come to LSU. They're very good friends and known each other for a long time. And she mentioned, kind of like DD Bro built up the LSU gymnastics program. This is something that she looks forward to doing, and she looks forward to the challenge. She stressed for everybody to be patient, that it's going to take time, and it will. It'll take time, but I'd say within the next 5 years, I'd say probably closer to three, that LSU will have a national championship, barring any kind of craziness that happens. So that's it for women's basketball. Like I said, we will have a lot more on Coach Mulkey and the Tigers as they get more and more recruits in. One note, for LSU men's basketball, they got a transfer, Tari Eason. He's transferring from Cincinnati. He is a forward. He is originally from Seattle, Washington, but he was at Cincinnati. Don't know a lot about him, but hopefully I'll get some more information soon. So that is it for LSU basketball. We are going to move on to LSU baseball. LSU baseball. First, we'll start off with the good news and go into a little bit of great news. LSU first baseman Trey Morgan received SEC Freshman of the Week honors. Batted 571 for the week. He was 8 for 14 with 3 RBIs and 4 runs scored against Ole Miss. I'll get back to that in a minute. Dylan Cruz, Jordan Thompson, and Morgan have now all received Freshman of the Week honors. So that's your freshman trio. Dylan Cruz, Jordan Thompson, Trey Morgan, those two right there are just phenomenal baseball players, and they're freshmen, so they're going to be here for a while. So that's good. It could be better if we had a good coach, but I digress. So that's the good news. I'm going to get to the great news after I cover this past weekend's series. So, well, the past weekend series was pretty good news. There were definitely some highlights. So, we played Ole Miss last weekend. Ole Miss was number 12 team in the country. We took 2 out of 3. So, you have to be pretty pleased with that. First game, we won 5-4. Marceau pitched in that game. Didn't have his best stuff, but he got through it. So that's all you can really ask. He threw 5 1/3. He gave up 8 hits, 4 runs, 5 strikeouts. So again, not his best outing, but it is what it is. Garrett Edwards actually ended up getting the win. Excuse me, only pitched 2/3 of an inning, and Devin Fontenot got the save. He pitched 3 innings. Fontenot really did a phenomenal job in this game. Pitched 3 innings, 5 strikeouts. Only gave up 2 hits and no runs. I mean, that he came in and basically shut Ole Miss down. So good team effort. The next game on Friday, LSU won 7-2. Obviously a big game. Winning pitcher in that game was Labus. Threw 9 innings. Now, he threw 9 innings. That's a complete game. He was in the over 100 pitches, but you just knew the way he was going that he was going to be out there and pitching. 6 strikeouts, 10 hits, 2 runs. There was no need to. He was pitching so well and very, he was over 100 pitches, but his pitches were efficient. A lot of them were fouled off, so his pitching was efficient, and that's why his pitch count was a little higher. But to throw a full game and not to have to use the bullpen was just awesome. It really set you up. It gave the bullpen some rest and kind of set you up. You threw Fontenot 3 innings the night before. That's one of your main bullpen guys. So to be able to save the rest of the bullpen was really just, it is just a testament. That was by far Labus's best game of the year. Trey Morgan was 3 for 5. Dylan Cruz was 2 for 4. Gavin Dugas was 2 for 4. I'm sorry, Dugas was 2 for 5. Doty was 2 for 5. We were just hitting the ball well. Obviously, to score 7 runs. It was just a great team effort and a great game. When you can score that many runs against a really quality team, Ole Miss, like I said, number 12 team, has really just excellent pitching. When you can score 7 runs, and 5 of them were in the ninth inning. We were only up 2-1 going into the ninth, and scored 5 runs at the top of the ninth. So that ninth inning was just huge for us. And then once we scored the 5 runs, you knew Labus was going to come out and finish the game. So hats off to him. Now, The final game, so we took 2 out of 3. The final game was good until it wasn't. We were up, let's see, 3, 6, 7, 8, 9 to 1. We were up 9 to 1 going into the 8th inning and allowed Ole Miss to score 8 runs in the 8th inning. Kidd came up for Ole Miss, hit a grand slam to tie the game. And I believe pretty much all 8 runs, if I'm not mistaken, were with 2 outs. So how do you do that? How do you give up 8 runs with 2 outs? And yeah, it was pitching, or I should say lack of pitching. We used 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pitchers in that game. Now, I will say Helmer started the game, threw very well. As you know, in my past podcast, I had been begging and begging and begging and begging for Maneri to throw Helmers. I did not think that he would throw him on Sunday because Helmers pitched, I think, 2 or 3 innings in the midweek game. And that's probably why Helmers only threw 3 innings, because he only gave up 2 hits and 1 run. Had he not pitched Helmers in that midweek game, and this goes to the just the fucking stupidity of Paul Maneri, had he not thrown Helmers in that game, let's see, he throws 3 innings in a midweek game, 3 innings in this game, so he could have thrown 6 innings, and he was doing well. So if he hadn't played in the middle of the week, he could have had 6 innings. Now, Blake Money came in for an inning and 2/3, gave up 3 hits, no runs. And then they brought Coleman in. Now, Coleman did a good job for the 1 inning. Well, he pitched 3 innings total. The first inning, he did a good job, and then it just went to shit. Like he just went to shit. He gave up 6 hits, 6 runs. All 6 were earned runs. I don't blame Coleman. Okay, I know he was the pitcher, and I know he threw the balls, but he shouldn't have been out there. Maneri should have pulled him after that inning, or pulled him once he got into trouble in the second inning that he threw. And again, it just goes to the stupidity and the bullshit of Paul Maneri. Okay, I took a couple notes during the LSU Ole Miss game, the game 2. Now, we ended up winning the game, all right? So, like I told you, hold on. Let me go back to game 3 for 1 second. We lost the game. We shouldn't have lost the game. Maneri's a fucking idiot. That summarizes that game. But to show you Maneri and his lack of coaching, in the Ole Miss game, game 2, now we ended up winning the game 7-2, but like I said, we scored 5 runs in the 8th inning or the 9th inning. We had runners on first and second with no outs in the top of the 1st inning. Okay? Your 3-hole hitter is up. Okay? So, no outs. First and second, top of the 1st inning. 3-hole hitters up. So, what do? We do a double steal. Why? Why do you do a double steal? You're in the first fucking inning. Your first 2 runners got on. And you do a double steal and you get thrown out of third. Everybody knows. Anybody's played baseball, and I've said this on my podcast, you don't make the first out or the last out at third base. Your 3rd-hole hitter is up, who's one of your best hitters, and you double steal in the 1st inning. Like, it makes no fucking sense. So then later on, we have the bases loaded. We get an infield hit. Because the player bobbled the ball. I think it was the second baseman bobbled the ball. So we have bases loaded. We get it. Our player hits the ball to the infield. The infielder bobbles it. We score a run. Bases are loaded. The runner from third ends up scoring on the bobble. The runner from second went to third, but then tried to score and got thrown out. Instead of staying at third, like all the infielder did was bobble the ball. Why would you try to score? And you had Dylan Cruz coming up next at the plate. Like, you have to know situational baseball. And I don't even think the coach told him to go. the infielder just bobbled the ball and couldn't make a play, and you try to score from second with two outs. Like, you have your Dylan Cruz, your best hitter, coming up to bat. Why would you try to score? It makes no sense. Like, it's just stupid base running mistakes like that that drive me fucking insane. It's like they don't even practice the shit. It doesn't make sense. I think I've said this before. When I was in high school, we practiced base running like every practice. We practiced situational base running. You knew when you were on base what you were supposed to do. And that was based off of practice. And they don't practice this stuff. And I know you're at the collegiate level, and you maybe the coach thinks you should know this, but you have to practice it to do it in a game. And it's constant. This isn't anything new. These base running mistakes have been a plague of the pulmonary era. Plague of the pulmonary era. Going back to game three, when they tied up the game in the eighth inning on the Grand Slam, Pulmonary goes and argues with the umpire for some fucking reason and gets thrown out the game. Pulmonary never gets thrown out of the game. Ever. So why are you going to argue? Like, what it tells me is, I'm going to go argue so I can get thrown out of the game so I don't have to fucking watch us collapse. Like, that's what it tells me. It tells me I've given up. Anytime they pan to the LSU dugout, Mineri has this look on his face like he is just given up and done. I swear, I hope. Listen, y'all want to be nice guy to Pulmonary? Be nice guy to Pulmonary. He needs to fucking go. He needs to be fired. But if you want to play a nice guy route, I am praying to whatever God you want to pray to that he retires at the end of the season. That he just says, I'm done. I'm calling it quits. I'm retiring. And be done with it. Because that's either that or get fired. Like, maybe they'll force him into retiring. Like, say, hey, either retire or we're going to fire you. And maybe he'll just retire and make it look, happy and pleasing to everybody. But he needs to fucking go. He really does. LSU played last night against Grambling State. They won 7-0. This weekend at the box, number one Arkansas comes into town. Friday, the game is at 6 on SEC Network. Saturday, the game is at 6:30 on SEC Network Plus, and Sunday, the game is at 2 p.m. on SEC Network Plus. The big news and the great news that I wanted to get to is that John Bel Edwards, the dumbass governor of the state of Louisiana, who I'm not a fan of, finally lifted the mask mandate, and the box, for the first time since the COVID started, will have 100% capacity. 100% of the stadium will be open, and no mask required. You want to wear a mask? Wear a mask. You're scared to go to a game? Don't fucking go to the game. But I can promise you that place will be packed. Arkansas, number one team in the country, coming into town. Place will be packed. Place will be bumping. It'll be so nice to see that on TV, to see all the Tiger fans. And, like I said, no mask required. If you want to wear one, wear one. If it makes you feel more comfortable, by all means, wear three. I could give two shits. That's your deal. But you can go to the game, get tickets. Listen, if you listen to this podcast and you have an opportunity to go to the box this weekend, go. Let's pack that stadium. Let's make it loud. Let's show these freshmen what a true Alex Box Stadium, full Alex Box Stadium on a weekend SEC series with the number one team coming to the country can look like. Now, I will say I was very surprised that we did that well against Ole Miss. I was impressed with it, to be honest with you. Obviously, that last game was shit, the way we lost, but I was very impressed with that series. It's funny. Every time you think they're kind of dead in the water, they pop back up and win a series like that. And then they go back into the swamp. They go back into drowning. And I said this last weekend, and I was wrong and would It was, I'll admit I was wrong. I said I thought Ole Miss would probably sweep us. They didn't. I said I'd be surprised if we won one game, and we won two. So great. I'm happy for them. That's great. This weekend, number one Arkansas, don't expect to win the game. Maybe with the back, the box being fully open and having fans there, maybe it'll inspire them to win a game, maybe win two and take the series. That would be amazing. And I hope they do. I really do. I don't want you to think that I'm not pulling for them to win. I am 100% pulling for them to win. You know, even if it meant Maneri, God help me, I can't believe I'm uttering this sentence, but even if it helped Maneri stay, you know, even if it helped, if they won and it helped Maneri stay, my goal is for LSU to win. And that's what I'm here for. I'm an LSU fan. I want them to win. I think they got the wrong guy there to do it, to push them. Look, I've said it before, and it was the same way with Les Miles. If you like a nice guy coach, that'll get you to regionals, maybe, or super regionals, and that's as far as you go, then Paul Maneri's your guy. But if you want to win national championships, you need somebody else in there. They will not, and I said this when Les Miles was coaching, they will not win another championship as long as Paul Maneri is the coach. Bottom line, point blank, they will not win another national championship as long as he is the coach. The talent level at these other SEC schools has far surpassed LSU. And it's a shame because LSU used to be Arkansas. LSU used to be Vanderbilt. They used to be the team to beat. And now they're just middle of the pack like everybody else. Really bottom of the pack, to be honest with you. If LSU made a regional this year, I'd be very surprised. And the way the projections are right now, they're projected not even to make a regional. And if they don't make a regional and Paul Maneri isn't fired, then something's seriously wrong. So I am pulling for them. I do want them to win. I do want them to make a regional. I want them to go to fucking Omaha. I want them to win the whole goddamn thing. But I can promise you it won't happen as long as Maneri is there. I'm off my soapbox on that. I will move on. Actually, there's really nothing much to move on to. So I will say that is all the show we have for you right now. Want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, which we do after Saints games. Maybe thinking about doing it after LSU games. We'll see how that goes. What else? The Dome Patrol podcast, our big show. Listen, I know this won't come out till Friday because I'm not going to publish it till Friday, but please, if you can watch us on the draft night, do so. It's going to be a lot of fun, even though I know this is coming out after that. But anyway, I go back to this for 1 second. Let me interrupt my closing here. So we have the draft special Thursday night, and we're going to be live streaming the whole draft from 7 till the first round ends, and we will be drinking that whole time. I will be drinking that whole time. And it's going to get crazy. And it's going to get like it was last year. It's going to get a little crazy. And it's just interesting that, not interesting, but my wife is actually leaving that night to go to the beach with a bunch of wives from the neighborhood. And Jeff, who lives two doors down from me, who's on the big show, Dome Patrol podcast. Came up with this idea for all the husbands to get together and to do, who we're calling it, the sausage party festival.
So anyway, like I was saying, we're doing on Saturday, we're doing a sausage party festival. So all the guys are getting together and grilling sausage and just grilling meat and drinking all day. So my liver is going to be quite saturated by the time Sunday rolls around. But anyway, let's see, where was I on the close? The BS and Beer Saints podcast, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League podcast, and Taking It Over with Billy Gunn, and of course, the Tiger's Den. Follow each show on Twitter at Don't Patrol PCast, at Don't Patrol UK, at BS and Beer Media, at Taking the Over, and at Tiger underscore podcast. Follow us on Facebook for live streams. We're doing one Thursday for the draft. Just search for Dome Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to domepatrolpodcast.com. That is all the show we have for you. Thanks for listening, and we will see you on the other side. Good night, Tiger Nation.
Hey, fighting tigers, fight all the way. Hey, fighting tigers, win the game today. You've got to know how you're doing fine. Hang on to the ball and you hit the wall and smack right through that line. You gotta go for the touchdown, run up the score, make Mike the Tiger spin right up.